start looking at these things, and I don't know about you, I'm getting more convicted as we start looking at the words of Christ, and even as and he brings up these points where he says, look, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you want to enter the kingdom of God. And he thwarts against the idea that we can be righteous enough, right? That we can be good enough, because none of us can. And he goes through the idea of murder, and he goes, wait a minute, how about anger in your heart? Ugh, I've done that. Adultery, but the heart with lust. And we've been following these in, and this morning we're going to pick up on this theme. And the idea here is, look, the standard is still good. I was just listening to the news, which is really depressing. I don't recommend it. Don't watch the news. But I was listening to a county in California who now is boasting that their statistics, their arrests are way down. And they're praising themselves. Oh, look, we fixed the crime problem because crime, we're not arresting people anymore. Well, all they did was say, if you don't steal more than $900, we're not going to arrest you, right? And what they've done is just changed the standard. And now they're lauding and patting themselves on the back. Says, oh, we fixed the problem. No, you just moved the bar. God's word doesn't change. And so that standard is still the same. Doesn't matter what society says. It doesn't matter what, they redefine. God's word is still God's word. And I think going forward as Christians, that's going to cause us to be sort of a thorn in the flesh for the world. Because we can't compromise. This is what the Bible says. And I will stand on what the Bible says. And so the standard is good. The problem is we can't achieve it on our own. And so in all these things, it brings us to the cross because, look, God, I'm not good enough. So I need you. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness as I strive on, because the standard is still good. And I want to press towards that mark. So Matthew chapter 5, we're picking these up where he says, look, you have heard, right? We've talked about various Old Testament passages that the law has said, that the Pharisees kind of pat themselves on and says, hey, we're not so bad. And Jesus gets to the heart of the issue. And he continues to in the passage, he's doing this still. There you go. And we start laying these things out. And once again, I find it more convicting because once the details get smaller, they start getting closer to home. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 38, says, you have heard it said, eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. You've all heard that saying before. And actually, oftentimes we hear it in our case, it's in the justice system. We hear so much about justice, right? And we thought, oh, an eye for an eye, and how horrible that is. I do want to point out that biblically this is the principle of the Old Testament. Three passages in the Old Testament. One is Deuteronomy chapter 19. It says, an eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, and a foot for a foot. Leviticus as well says, a fracture for a fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused the figurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. And once again, in Exodus, it says, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot. Now, it's interesting because our legal mindset, we say, oh, this is a cruel way to live. Right? Usually when we bring this out, an eye for an eye, it usually brings up sort of a negative connotation. But it's interesting because historically, you got to look at what leads up to this. Before God had established his law, basically anything goes. I think for an example, Jacob and Esau. You guys are familiar with the two brothers. And Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright. And in here, if you remember right, Esau's response was, because you stole my birthright, I'm going to kill you. And Jacob took off. We see this prior to the law, that was a common thing. Right? I'm angry with you, I'm upset with you, and I'll kill you. I will escalate things. You think back in the Wild West, before the law was established, that anything went. You stole the horse, they would lynch you, right? The over overabundance, and they were calling it justice. And we see that response we have today. Actually, back, every time I think of this passage, I was thinking of a gentleman back in the early 90s. Computers were just starting to be a thing. And I remember I had sent a gentleman that I knew a little text or email that had an attachment. And if you clicked it, your screen would go white and it would say, "I got you with a virtual snowball." And I thought that was kind of a cute thing, so I sent it to him, and he clicked on it, apparently, and he got this little thing that says, "You've been hit by a virtual snowball," and his screen would turn white. Well, he emailed me back, and he said, "You started a war." And he goes, "I don't mess around." He goes, "I will be at your house with a front-end loader and bury your car in snow." I was like, wow, this escalated quickly. And I was like, I'm sorry. I was like, whoa. And it's funny, I talked to the guy afterwards. I was like, "I was really shocked by your response." And he goes, "Just remember," he goes, "I don't get even." He goes, "I get over and above." And I was like, "I'm not going to mess with you. You can be my friend. I'm not going to mess with you." But that's sort of the human response, right? I don't want to get even. I want to get over and above. And we saw this prior to the law given, that in here, anything goes. Because there's no justice system in place to cover for it. And so when God established this law of eye for an eye, it was actually did two things. One, it limited, right? It limited the punishment, right? If I, you know, if I turn around and you know, hit you with a baseball bat, I don't know why, but, you know, and I broke your leg, right, I couldn't get punished beyond what I did out. And we see this very common in our day and age, right? In here, what we try to do in our justice system is bring equality back, right? What harm I did to you, I replace it. You know, if I'm out here and I back up into your car and I damage your car, the penalty I have is to make your car back, restore that to where it was, right? That's sort of an eye for an eye. In here, it brought a limitation to the punishment that you would receive. The second thing that it did is brought the idea of equality. That actually what it did, it caused the payment to be equal to the crime. Right? And so we see this today. What is an equal punishment to pay for the crime? And so when God established this law, it was a good thing, all right? You got to keep that in mind. When God established that law, it was for a good thing to limit an out-of-control world. And so what Jesus does, he says, look, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, right? He goes, but I'm calling you to something higher and something deeper. Once again, Jesus is more concerned over the heart. And so Jesus here turns this justice system of a right of recompense, he turns around and uses that for a call of mercy instead of revenge. Right? And this kind of goes against sort of the human nature, because in this we need God's help to accomplish this. Because my idea is to get even with you. You hurt me, guess what? I want to, what? Hurt you back. That's human nature, right? And it starts young. I know, you know, on the playground, you know, the little boy comes up and pushes me as a little boy. Guess what I do? I get up and I'll push him back, right? I'll show you. And it just escalates as we get older. I will get even with you. My spouse hurts me. I want to hurt her back, right? My child gets me upset. I want to lash out to that child. I'll show you, right? My boss, right? My boss gets me upset. And so, you know, I go out and break the coffee machine. You know, I want to get even. I want to show you. You're not going to get away with that. Because human nature is very much about watching out for me. And God calls us to mercy instead of revenge. Look what he says here. In light of this eye for an eye, Jesus says, look, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn other to him also. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn and give them the other cheek. And this is a common phrase we use today, right? If you turn away an offense, you turn the other cheek. This is where it came from. It came from Scripture. But in here, what Jesus is talking about, and this is kind of really interesting because I was thinking about this, you know, because I know some Christians will use this as a call for Christians to be pacifists. And yet you look at the Scriptures, and there's time to go to war, right? There's a time to fight. There's a time to defend. That in here, as a husband, I have a duty to defend my family. I think God calls us to that. The Bible says, if I don't take care of my own family, I'm worse than an unbeliever. That in here, I need to defend my family. That if my life is threatened, I have no recourse. I am able to defend myself. So I don't think this is a passage that's talking about being a pacifist. But I want you to think about this for a second. Right? If I'm standing here and you're standing there, and we're facing each other, the Bible says here that if I strike you where? Where does it say? It says the cheek, but it's interesting because God's word is amazing. He says, what cheek? What's it say? On your right cheek. Now, if you're facing me, your right cheek's right here. Right? So if I'm going to slug you, right? I'm angry with you, we're in a fight. If I go to hit you, where am I going to hit you? On the left cheek. So in order to, now unless you're left-handed, then all bets are off. But in here, for me to hit around and strike you on the left cheek, what's going to happen is I'm going to come at you like what? I'm going to backhand you. Right? So this isn't necessarily an aggressive act. You can say, well, you slap someone, it's an aggressive act. But what this is an insult. Right? This is an offense. Oh, yeah? Smack. Whoa. You know, and for some reason, I always picture there's some movie, I don't know what it was. I think it was Zorro. And, you know, the old good black and white TV days. And always, as a kid, we picked this up. But, you know, there's some French guy that was insulted. And he grabbed his little gloves and he goes, it's a duel. So my brothers and I would do that around the house. We'd take our gloves and mittens and I challenge you to a duel and smack, smack, smack. We were weird kids. I don't know what you were. We're impressible. But so you think about it. He says, look, if someone comes up and strikes you on the right cheek, he says, offer them your other one. What Jesus is talking about here is this idea of offense. This is a sort of an insult, if you will. And we see this takes place even today, this sort of a slap in the face. We even use that terminology. Oh boy, that was a smack in the face. So God calls us to be merciful, and we're going to go through this list of areas in our life where God has called us to mercy and not revenge. Because if you insult me, my first recourse, my first instinct is to what? Insult you back. Right? If you smack me in the face, guess what? I'm going to want to smack you back. But Jesus calls us to be merciful. And we see this throughout Scripture. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Peter says, resist. Well, if I am offended, if I am insulted, I am to take a step back from that and offer a blessing instead. I'll tell you, that goes against my human nature. And God, I need your help to do this. Lord, help me to love those who offend me. I think of Christ. On the night he was betrayed, we just took communion. It was a picture of that evening on the cross. And they took Jesus and put a crown of thorns upon his head. They pulled the hair out of his beard. They beat him, and not once they retaliate. Actually, on the cross, in light of all this, and even at the foot of the cross, they were mocking him, and in here, making fun of him. And they're waiting for him to die. Jesus looked down at that offense and said, what? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Oh God, I'm so far from what I should be. Lord, help me to show mercy when I'm offended. Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, repay no one evil for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if possible, as much as it depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And when we talk about these things, it isn't that, I think sometimes we're afraid that the person who offends me, the person who posts a mean thing on Facebook about me, a person who insults me, a person who does all this, is going to get away with it. Let me tell you something, they're not. They're going to have to give an account to God. Vengeance is mine, says God. He will repay. And so in here, this allows us to take a step back. Actually, the book of Proverbs says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And we can see how this escalates out, right? If someone comes at me and they give me a shove, or they come up there and get in my face, you know, my natural instinct is to get back in their face. Well, what happens to them? They stand their ground, and they're going to come at me. Well, it's interesting, when someone comes at you, it's like, that's what they sound like. And you take a step back. And often what I find is they kind of run out of air. And at that point, you can address it. Right? Those of you who have been married, I you've lived this. Right? That all of a sudden, your spouse is upset with you, or you're upset with them, and you say something, and then they say something back, and then what? It escalates all up. Instead of, you know what? You say your piece, and let's take a step back. And a soft answer turns away wrath. But to turn away from this offense, and let me tell you something, I'm not saying that you don't have a right to be offended. Right? In this case, he's talking about the idea, if someone strikes you on the cheek, obviously, you have a cause for offense. You've struck me, or someone insulted you, or said something against you, right? You have every right to declare, look, I've been hurt. But what we're saying is, through God, show mercy instead. You sort of give up that right. And that's hard for us to understand. We're going to get into that in a little bit. The idea of surrendering our rights. He continues on. Matthew chapter 5, once again, it says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Now, this doesn't make too much sense for us culturally, but basically, if you think of in the Middle East, we've all seen them, then basically you'll have your garment consisted of two things. You had an inner tunic, right, which is the lightweight, and then you had an outer cloak that was heavy. And in here, because of the hot sun, it acted as insulation. In here, that if you're caught out, that you could use that as a blanket. You could curl up and use it as a pillow. So it became sort of this utilitarian type of garment, this outer cloak. Actually, Exodus has a rule about this. Actually, he says, if you lend money to anyone of my people who are poor among you, you should not be like the moneylenders to him. You shall not charge him interest. But if you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it before the sun goes down. And basically what happens is, if I had to borrow money and I didn't have anything, what I would do is I would take my cloak and say, okay, you hang on to this. Right? You use this as payment, as holding on to it. This is the pledge that I'll come back and I'll do what I told you to do. But I would take off my robe, because if I was poor, that's all I had. And so I would turn around and give that, and you would hang on to that. But because of the value of it, because of the necessity of it, the Bible says, look, but at sundown you had to give it back, because he might need it. And Jesus says here, is sort of over the top. He says, look, if someone sues you and they turn around and want your cloak, he says, also then turn around and give them your tunic. Basically, give them your shirt off your back as well. But I think what Jesus is pointing out here is that, look, this idea of reconciliation, that as Christians, we should do all that we have to do to make things right. In this case, if I was sued and the court found me guilty, right, therefore I am guilty and I need to repay him, what Jesus is, look, don't repay him just part, but do what all you have to do to make it right. That should be our attitude, to show mercy. right? A couple of years ago, there was a gentleman up north. There was a game warden and this other guy, and they played sort of a game of cat and mouse. One guy would go out and poach deer. And at that point, this is several years ago, the fine was $100. And so they were good buddies and all this, but it sort of became a game. And so finally the game warden caught the guy. And they came before the judge and he said, look, you have a $100 fine or you go to jail. And the guy thought he was really clever. And he goes, he had a wheelbarrow full of pennies. He goes, I have $100 worth of pennies to pay it off the price. And the judge looked at that and sends him to go to jail, and he could get out as soon as he had every single penny rolled and taken care of so he could pay his fine. But notice this, he was guilty, but his human nature wanted to show, I'll show you, right? I'll pay it in pennies, right? I'll do what I have to do. I'll pay you what I owe you, but I'll do it grudgingly. And Jesus says, no. Be so willing that in here, to be reconciled, that I'm willing to go over and above, to do what I have to be right, that we really value the unity in spirit that we can have. Then in here, go the extra mile. We're going to get into that as well, but once again, in Romans chapter 12, it says, if possible, as much depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So in here, to have this idea of reconciliation, of doing what needs to be done to make things right. And sometimes it's more than just repayment. Sometimes it's an apology, which I think sometimes, I talked to one guy and I told him, I said, well, you need to apologize. He goes, I'd rather pay, right? I'd rather write the check than have to apologize and say I was wrong and I was sorry. Oh, all those words choke. But are we willing to go and be reconciled together and make things right? Jesus goes on. If that hasn't stepped on your toes yet, Jesus is working on it here. He says, whoever tells you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. And what this does is talk about the idea that in Roman times, a Roman soldier could go up to a Jew and demand him to carry whatever he had, whether it be a backpack, whether it is armor, whatever it is, he could compel him and make him go walk 1 mile. Right? So imagine you're out working and all of a sudden the Roman soldier comes up and says, okay, drop what you're doing and carry my stuff. And not only that, because it's not only 1 mile, right? Because that's 1 mile out. And you have to do what to get back? Walk 1 mile to come back. And so for the Jew, this is like, wait a minute, this is wrong. Right? This is sort of an abuse of government. Right? This infringes on my liberty. Boy, it sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? And God tells us we need to be merciful in the liberty we have. Now, as Americans, we have unprecedented freedom compared to many nations around the world. And I think because of that, we've gotten kind of spoiled. Right? No one's going to tell me what to do. And sort of that rebelliousness. You know what? I do have rights and I do have these, but I need to be able to surrender those for the cause of Christ. And Jesus told them, look, the law says you can go 1 mile, but he says, you know what? Your heart should be so willing that you go 2, which actually turns into 4 because you're 2 miles out and 4 and 2 miles back. We still use that phrase, right? Going the extra mile. This is where it came from, out of Jesus' own words. 1 Peter says this, is therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do good. Oh, I have my rights. And we've seen this battle going on all around us. And Christian, for the cause of Christ, sometimes we need to yield up that liberty for the gospel's sake. Paul goes a little bit further. He says, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Yoo-hoo! I like that liberty. I like that freedom. But only do not use that opportunity for the flesh, as though through love serve one another. Folks, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Right? And in this, to yield to God and let God have his way in our lives and submit to him and be willing, because of mercy's sake, give up some of my liberties because I love other people. One more thing. Matthew chapter 5, once again, goes on. It says, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Now, it's interesting because you read a verse like this, and everyone at the back door is going to say, hey, pastor, can I borrow $100? The Bible says you have to give it to me. Well, it's interesting because the Bible talks about, look, if you don't work, you don't eat. The Bible says that every one of us has carried our own responsibilities before the Lord. That I have a reason to take care of my family. It falls on me to provide for my family. And so a verse like this can't be used to justify just sort of this idea that I'm going to walk around with my hand out demanding things from everyone else. Because so much of the Bible talks about opposite of that. But the Bible is clear that I need to be merciful in my possessions. Because as a Christian, guess what? Everything I have belongs to God. Everything belongs to him. Right? I'm just a steward. And I'm going to have to give an account for what I do with God's stuff, whether it's be my money, whether it's my property. All these things belong to God. And because of that, I would be within my rights, if you will, to say, this is mine. Mine, mine, mine. I think one of the best depictions in any cartoon is Finding Nemo. And if you have the scene with the little seagulls, and the seagulls come up, mine, 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 mine. Living here on the coast, you go down there. That is exactly what they're like. My daughter and I had stopped at the gas station and picked up a couple pieces of pizza, and we went down to the dock down in Searsport. It's a clear day, beautiful day, one or two little seagulls, and I was like, oh, I felt a little bad for the little bird out there, so I peeled off a little corner of my crust, and I threw it out. Well, that one little bird turned into about a dozen seagulls came flocking in, and they looked, and they were all around the vehicle, and my daughter's like, Dad, roll up the window. It was like, it turned into Hitchcock's Birds. I was like, all of a sudden, I don't know where they all came from, but they're like, mine, mine, mine. And they're up on the car. They're all around the sidewalk. They're waiting for more. And roll up the window, and my daughter was like, you know, if we do that, why don't we eat our pizza first and then throw the crust out before we leave, right? And it was like, oh. But we have that part of human nature. This is mine. And as Christians, this is mine. I've worked hard for it. And God tells us to be merciful in our possessions. Paul tells us this, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The Bible says to give, to be generous. And what God has given us with others. And there is what wisdom and there is discernment. Over the years, I've realized, you know what? I don't give money to people. You know, people will contact and say, hey, I need help with electric bill or I need help with diapers. And what I found over the years is sometimes, you know, I've said, okay, yeah, I'll give you the money. And then it kind of disappears. You never hear from the person again. And I've gotten a little smart. And what I'll do is I find out, oh, you know what? Someone calls me up and says, Pastor, you know, we're in a tough spot. I need some diapers. I said, okay, I'll buy you some diapers. And I find out probably about 80% of the time, the person hangs up. They don't want, right? Because what they want is the money. We're in Bible school. We had to speak up at the Rochester City Mission, and it's in a real rough part of town. And right around the corner from the mission is a McDonald's. And like I said, it's a pretty rough part of town. And in Bible school, it was funny because we'd have to go preach, and we were poor. I mean, we didn't have anything at all. I had a suit that I had picked up at Goodwill. And so it's funny, I went into the McDonald's there, and there was a gentleman who saw I was dressed up, and he came up, he figured I had some money. I was like, he didn't know how wrong he was. But he came up and he goes, look, I'm hungry. He goes, I haven't eaten in days. Can you help me out? And I knew I had to go preaching a little bit. I'm like, okay, Lord, I have to, you know. So I came out, I said, oh, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and order something off the menu? And he goes, no. He goes, I'll order something. Just give me the money. I was like, all right. I'm gonna be. And so I said, no, I'll tell you what. I'll buy you a meal. Go ahead, pick something. So he went on the menu and ordered the most expensive thing off the menu. And he ordered it all special and everything like that. And so at that point, that took up actually probably most of our money. So I think my wife and I just got some French fries and sat down. And I heard sort of a commotion, and we were getting not ready to leave anyways. And I walked by the counter, and here's this guy at the corner of the counter arguing with the manager. And he's like, this burger's bad, and this is bad. And he's complaining about everything. He goes, I want my money back. Well, I happened to hear that, so I walked over, and I said, is there a problem? Oh, no, everything's fine. The manager's like, well, he wants his money back because he's unhappy with the special order that he had. And I looked at the manager, I said, either remake it for him, or if you want money, give the money back, give the money back to me. And the guy looked at me, I won't repeat what he said, and he stormed out of the store because he wasn't interested in. But as Christians, you know, we turned around and this was our meal money, and we ended up giving it for someone who we thought was in need. And I think the Lord was pleased by that. And it doesn't come natural because it's mine, I have my rights, and I have all these things. And yet when God wants you to give, to be generous, to turn around and give. John, I think, makes it really clear here. He says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? God doesn't want me to be stingy with his stuff. He wants to be wise with it, right? I'm going to be accountable as being a steward. I want to be a wise steward to God. I don't want to be foolish. But God will take care of it. And so many times in our lives, we've been impressed to give, and we've given, and God's taking care of us. Why? Because it's his. And God wants us to be merciful in our possessions. So as we look at these things, and God has called us, right? You can say, I have my right. Right? Do you know who I am? And Jesus calls us to be merciful. When we're offended, don't offend back. In reconciliation, of doing what's necessary to make things right. Of our liberty. Of willing to take our freedom. And for the cause of Christ and for those around me. Of not doing what I have the freedom to do for others. Than to be merciful in my possessions and say, Lord, it all belongs to you. And I'll tell you that all this goes against my human nature. But through God, all things are possible. And Lord, help me to be merciful. Help me be forgiving. Help me be giving by your Spirit, Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you and encourage us by it. Lord, I read verses like this and they convict me. And Lord, I can only do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we ask you to work in our lives. Lord, we ask you to change us. Lord, give us a spirit of mercy in all areas of our life. Lord, that you may be glorified. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.